welcome to the very, very first episode of a brand new show featuring Trisha Hershberger and myself, Maud Garrett, with Amy Cassandra Martinez. It is called The Power Up Show. You are watching this live right now on Trisha Hershberger's Twitch channel. Thank you so much for hosting us, Trish.
Yay! Maud, I'm so excited that we finally get to do this show together. Thank you to everyone who's showed up live to watch the very first episode live on my Twitch channel. I see a lot of familiar names here. I see a lot of people that are here from the Mod Squad and the Geek Bomber. So I love this melding of worlds, Maud.
It is the Dragon Riders meets the Geek Bombers at the moment, which is so cool because our communities love to geek out, which is why they are pretty much here, which is why we've created this show called Power Up, which is all about playing, watching, and reading. And in the course of the next hour, we are going to be chatting, discussing not only the news in those topics, but also sharing what we've been consuming in those three as well. So it's all about recommendations and celebrating what we're currently getting up to, and we'd love you guys to get involved in that as well.
Yes. And for anyone who's currently watching this live that's used to being here on my Twitch channel, I know I normally have a lot of alerts and sound effects and visual things that jump out on screen and a lot of that funny business. But for the purposes of Power Up, we are going to take small breaks throughout the show to thank those people. So if you follow or you subscribe or something here in the moment and we don't verbally shout you out, that is why it is coming. Just be patient. So Maud, when people can listen to this over the weekend in the podcast variety, where will they be able to find it?
Yes, it is going to be available the day after we do the live stream. So over the weekend, you can listen to it on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, basically anywhere that you get your podcasts, we'll be putting it up there. I listen to all my podcasts through Spotify or iTunes, so we'll definitely be there. And if you are a big fan of all of Geek Bomb stuff, then you can actually back catalog and listen to all of Smordcast again and Fungin season 1 and 2, where in season 1, you can hear Trisha in the finale episode.
That's right. You absolutely can. So thank you, everybody, so very, very much for being here today. I'm really excited. Maud, should we kick it off?
Absolutely. It is time to get stuck into what we are currently playing. And to help us with that, we do have the In the Bomb Squad, Amy Cassandra Martinez, who's going to be running those headlines for us so that we can have a chat about it. Hey, Amy, how have you been?
Hi, I've been good. I think we're all pretty excited that we get some time to geek out with you guys. And yeah, let's go ahead and kick it off, yeah?
Yeah, really quickly, if you don't know Amy, she's in a bunch of Geek Bomb videos, and you might be watching this on Geek Bomb as well as a VOD. So if you're liking what Amy's about as well, she's done a bunch of content. So go back through the archives and see her vids too.
Woo, yay! Yeah, we've done lots of reviews as well, which, I mean, if you haven't seen those, watch them.
So what's the news for playing today?
All right. So PlayStation and Sony Interactive Entertainment have announced that Iron Man VR and The Last of Us Part 2 will be delayed. They tweeted out saying, logistically, the global crisis is preventing us from providing the launch experience our players deserve. We don't know when they will be released, but it's just something to keep in mind.
Trisha, I want to talk to you about this one. How much of this do you think is the fact that The Last of Us is based on like a viral epidemic or pandemic?
You know, it would certainly be silly to overlook that fact for sure. I feel like that is not the headspace that a lot of people want to be in right now with their video games. That being said, so many people have been looking forward to this title for so long and it looks so amazing that a lot of people thought, if I'm quarantined, at least I'll have The Last of Us Part 2. And so there was kind of this mixed reaction online, I would say, where a lot of people felt like, this is the worst thing that could ever happen to my quarantine. Yeah. And other people were like, you know what? I get it. Really, the safety of the devs and their families is the most important thing right now. And so if everyone needs to stay home and that means we don't get it for a while longer, you know, we understand, stay safe, stay healthy. And then there were a lot of people that were like, now that I think about it, exactly what you said, Maud, I don't know that type of game is the headspace I want to be in right now while I'm stuck at home. What do you think?
Well, what I've noticed by covering a lot of movies and TV at the moment, because it has been announced that I am going to be on the new Quibi show, Fresh Daily, which is all about what to watch, you know, basically now that we have all this time on our hands. And I've noticed a big trend in all of the streaming services. And that is if Pandemic or Contagion or any of those shows are available, they are in the most popular viewed list. People are going to that. And I almost think that they just want to get a take on what this could look like. And I think it's so almost like gut-wrenching that people are turning to fiction for actual factual answers in this state. So for me, I know that with The Last of Us, it's a little bit more removed from it. It's not necessarily a realistic take. I mean, these clickers are a genetic sort of like mutation. So it's in the realm of fantasy-esque, or like, you know, applying science to it all. I am in the kind of the headspace of, I can definitely remove the fact that this is like a pandemic result just so I can play video games.
Yeah, Ollie Morrison in chat right now says, a game based on a pandemic got canceled by a pandemic. Oh, the irony.
You know, it's true. Ollie, I mean, for like the good one-liners. Yeah, I know. And I understand, like, obviously safety is first. But if there is any game devs watching that can comment on this video in any way, what is it like being able to work from home? Like, is it able, I just figure being on a computer and a lot of your work is computer based, are you able to easily work from home, or is the rendering so hard that you need the professional equipment?
You mean for me or for Amy?
I kind of want to know, like, from game developers, like, is it realistic that they can?
Yeah, I think... Honestly, I think it's probably less about the working on computer and more about the physical shipping of the games and doing a launch the way they want to do it. Because figure they probably wanted to have launch events all over the place. They want to put together special editions that maybe the production of whatever ships with the special edition is going to be delayed. And so that would have to be compromised. And I feel like they probably looked at the whole thing and said, we would have to compromise so much and we just wouldn't be able to launch this game the way we wanted to. I think the thing that's got everyone a little bit scared, myself included, is that it's been delayed indefinitely. They didn't delay it saying, okay, well, we're going to push it back 4 months or 3 months or 6 months. It's just delayed indefinitely right now, which, again, I understand given the state of the world right now. But I think that's why so many people are like, because a lot of times things get delayed indefinitely and then never actually happen.
Well, this is power, PWR. We are going to be hearing that a lot more in the W section as well when it comes to watching. This is a trend that's happening. Things are getting pushed back. And I think initially we're all thinking, oh, it's only a month off. Surely we'll bounce back. And we're seeing this butterfly effect that a month is turning into a lot longer than that. Alrighty, that's the first story. Amy, what do we got next?
Well, I want to get y'all's recommendations for games.
Ah, okay. That's easy.
Ah, okay. Yes, because we are we're in the playing segment of the show. So we're going to talk about some games. So you'll get to see right here, ding, 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 in between us, a little bit of footage from Ori and the Will of the Wisps, which anyone who follows the Hero Hunter is the game that I have certainly been playing lately. It has beautiful art, absolutely stunning soundtrack, and is deceptively difficult. I think was it Joe for Joe? Someone in chat in my last stream said this game is deceptively difficult for how Pixar it looks. Because Maude, I can't hear you at all.
Hi guys, I disappeared for a second. I'm just kind of giving your Twitch channel a subtle plug, but the thing that I did caught is that you often die in this game. A, I don't like games where I'm constantly dying and respawning. That's why I avoided a lot of games that like had nightmare difficulty levels. But for you, you made it one step even more difficult for you by answering a really, really awkward question every time you died. And I just wanted to know.
Yeah, that was just for Wacky Wednesday. That was not every time I play this game, by any means. No, I like playing difficult platformers because eventually, the more you play them, the muscle memory will kick in and you will eventually be able to defeat a really, really hard section, whether it's a speedrun section where you need to get every jump exactly correct every single time for like a full 60 seconds or 90 seconds or something like that, or it's a difficult combat section. The satisfaction when you do finally beat it is amazing, and just like its predecessor, Ori and the Blind Forest, I think that these games are designed so very well. Like, not only are they stunning works of art, the actual gameplay is so wonderful that I encourage people to check it out. If you're a fan of difficult platformers like Celeste, or like Ori and the Blind Forest, then this is going to be something that I think you will really enjoy. And if you're not necessarily a fan of difficult platformers, but you're up for the challenge, this is just a stunning piece of art that I think everybody should give a try. And yeah, for my Wacky Wednesday streams, I like to shake it up a little. So I was answering awkward questions every time I die. I've seen people online eating those Birdie Bots Every Flavor beans every time they die. because dying happens a lot here.
I think I've realized why these games don't necessarily appeal to me, and I think it begins with the fact that it's a bit of a side-scrolling platform game, and that is growing up with the Super Nintendo Entertainment System and all of those games, you had 3 lives. Yes, you could collect them, but there were no spawn points, so So when you died, you died. So the first level, you did it 1,082 times, and then and when you would progress, you would have to learn for the first time, but chances are you had 0 lives to kind of do it. As a kid, I think I got scarred by that. I was one of the families where it was like, don't touch the console, because we would have to leave it on for days at a time and in that particular spot, otherwise we'd have to start again. So yeah, I feel like I'm good with that now.
Yeah, I remember putting a washcloth over my Nintendo Entertainment System so that my mom couldn't see that the power light would stay on, even though I turned off the TV for like days. Like, I would have gotten in so much trouble. But you know, when you're a kid and your mom's like, stop playing right now, you have to clean your room or set the table or it's dinner time or whatever it is that you have to stop, but you're like, I can't save
this game.
That's how you did it. That's how you did it. All right, so Maud, what are you currently playing?
I think that says a lot about what I've just confessed then. I'm playing Animal Crossing at the moment. It is my form of meditation because everything is going to shit, kind of, and this is a really trying time. So when I go into Animal Crossing and the only thing expected of me is to catch some butterflies and do some fishing and decorate my house, that just is such a zen. And I've called my village Chillville. Because that's all I want to do. I just want to chill. But then I noticed, because everyone played it once the release came out and like they were comparing, everyone was so much faster and more committed than I was. And I was like running behind quite a bit. And then like, you know, I would go into other people's islands, like Anthony Carboni and Steve Zaragoza, and they were leagues ahead of me. And they're like, let's all play an ocarina. And I'm like,
what is Steve's island like? Hold up. What is Steve Zaragoza's island like? Because he is the least organized person I've ever known in real life. And so I imagine his island is just like piles of toys and laundry everywhere.
Well, the last photo I've seen of his character, he's wearing a muumuu, which I think is very, very on
brand right now
for him. I didn't get to go to his island. He and I went to Anthony's island. And there was a cute little park area where we sat down and we were just on our ocarinas. But afterwards he was like, I'm a little bit embarrassed about how my island looks because I've been to other people's and they're so much better than mine. And I was like, Anthony, yours was so much better than mine. So I get embarrassed like that. But what was really, really cool is that people are really getting into the design function. You can create a design and then put it up on pictures and hang in your apartment. You can build apparel. And a couple of Geek Bombs fans have gone amazingly well in the clothes designs. You can see one right here. This is M the Cartographer. Michelle has made the Geek Bomb logo and like got the proper pink and has built out this outfit. And another backer, Marco. I'm not sure if they're watching live. Is Marco in there? He's usually pretty good about that.
Let's see. So not the outfit we're looking at right now, but a different one?
Yeah, there's more. There he is. That's Marco. He made Geek Bomb cherries. Because I think maybe his island is cherries. But I just thought that was so cool because I was totally unprompted. And then all of a sudden in the chat, they're just like dropping their designs in there. Because in the top tier of Geek Bomb's Patreon, I have given my Switch Friends code to everyone in that so that we can do some island hopping as well, which is pretty cool. Yeah.
You know what? You are making me so envious and so wishing I was playing this game. I have not played any of the Animal Crossing series, but everything I know about it, it would be right up my alley. But because I'm so determined to beat Ori and the Will of the Wisps before Final Fantasy VII Remake comes out, I'm like, I don't have time to play anything else. I wish that I did because right now, you know, we're all quarantined and a lot of people are like, dude, I got so much video game time. But because I have a production company and run my own business and have a tiny human, those two things take up 99.9% of my time. And really the only time that I get to play games is why while I'm streaming on Twitch. So all of my game time that I have in the week, you guys get to see. The Dragon Riders get to see you regularly. So I now have, 9 days left to beat Ori and the Will of the Wisps? Like, the clock is ticking.
I haven't played Final Fantasy VII yet. I started the Final Fantasy franchise at 12, and I loved 12. I became a big fan of Fran, if you know what I'm saying. Wink, wink. But the fact that this is getting remastered, because I played everyone from then. I played 13, I played 14, I played 15. Yes, oh no, didn't play 14, definitely played 13. Fight me. I liked it. So yeah, I'm into that one, and that'll be, I think, a nice break from Animal Crossing, just because there is something about, I think Animal Crossing, for the A-type people out there, like your non-Steve Zaragoza's, because it's like, whatever. Oh, you're an A-type, are you? That's funny.
Oh, me, yes. I can like, Stardew Valley and like Sims and SimCity and, oh yeah, I can simulation resource management game with the best of them. That's like,
my thing is, it's like, why am I shaking trees and digging up things and planting? How do I navigate? Like, there needs to be more of an unlocking process where the more you unlock, the more things kind of like help you with it. Because I'm just like, I'm working so hard during my days, and now I've got to pay off a mortgage to some raccoon. It's just like, okay.
Oh yeah, anyway, games like that are about making to-do lists and then checking stuff off, that those are my type of games. Because even if I didn't get to check a lot off in my real life, if I got to check a lot off in my video game life, I feel real good. Which is why everyone right now that's all bummed about what's going on in the world, they're like, oh man, I just paid off my mortgage. Like, feels real good.
Yeah, no, I get that. Big time. But we want to hear from you guys, not only in the chat now, but in the YouTube comments. What are you currently playing? Are you into Animal Crossing? Are you all about Ori? We want to hear from you. Thanks so much for watching About Playing, though. We're going to take a little second to get some thank yous in for the Twitch subs, Trish.
Yes. Okay, so a lot happened. Thank you, guys. So I want to welcome a bunch of new followers. It looks like we have Paladin of Odin, Turtle Moose Turtle, Flame and Cheese, Atolos, Rydian, Rydian M actually subscribed. Thank you for the sub. Catnip Ninja gave us a host and also gifted a sub to Squish Ramon. Thank you for that. Ollie Morrison followed. Ashalon 6023 gave us a host. Thank you so much. GDOK resubbed and said, dropping off a resub. Have fun. Stay safe. Thank you. Same right back at ya. Joker Joe gifted 10 subs on the channel. So officially, welcome to the Dragon Riders. ASMR Villain, Rich 1430, Dragon Kills, Starcat, Harbchan, Tripstary, Aaron 117, Indie Steven, Bo XC 127, and Zagwara Tricks, I believe is what your name is. So Joker Joe, thank you seriously so much for your generosity and gifting all those subs. Our army is growing. Our Dragon Rider army is growing, and I couldn't be happier. And some more new follows that we have. BDA Amokos, Tiff Stardust, Red Jello 14, and Dazmir just hosted. So thank you guys all so much for being here. Like I said earlier in the stream, I know we don't have notifications going off during the show, but that's to make it a little bit more simple to port to podcast and VOD on YouTube form later. But I am seeing you, I am appreciating you, and we'll be shouting everybody out in the middle of the various segments like we're doing right now.
Oh, all you bombers in there, I can see you. That is so amazing that you've joined in and here as well. Plus, because we are not having this in the YouTube video, and this is for podcast and Twitch only, drink every time I bite my nails. That's how stressed I am. That's a fun game.
You know what? For the East Coast, this is airing live at 7 p.m., so it would be more appropriate to do that for sure. It's Friday night.
It's a Friday, guys. We're bringing the best.
It's
alrighty,
Friday night. Get it. And I know, Maud, you asked everybody what they've been playing. And I see a lot of Ashalon 6023 says playing a lot of Surviving Mars and Tropico 4. An Epic Nguyen says restarted Shadow of the Colossus. Excellent game. Zrakken 75 says Doom Eternal, AC Origins, and now Resident Evil 3. Love it.
Oh, it's 9 a.m. here in Australia. Well, buddy, if you're really Australian, that wouldn't be an issue. Hey, quarantine, am I right? Also, Adam Tulos has said, don't come to my island yet. That just makes me want to go to the island so much more. Adam, let me know in the comments what fruit you've got. Alrighty, let's move things on. Amy, come on back, because it is time for watching. What is the watching news? What's going down? And then Trish and I are going to get into our recommendations on what we're getting, what we're checking out.
We have a lot of movie delays, so I'm just gonna say them. Okay, here we go. Mulan is coming out July 24th now. A Quiet Place Part 2 has been pushed all the way back to September 4th. Black Widow is until November 6th. Top Gun Maverick, December 23rd, right around Christmas time, which I think is pretty good. Eternals has been pushed to next year, officially in February. Ghostbusters Afterlife, March of 2021. Morbius, later that month. Jungle Cruise, July of 2021. Doctor Strange 2 has been pushed to November 5th, 2021. Thor, Love and Thunder, February 18th, 2022, which is a couple of years away. Captain Marvel 2, good news, did get pushed up 2 weeks. Great. July 8th, 2022. And the untitled Indiana Jones film is being pushed back a year from July 9th, 2021 to July 29th, 2022.
All right, I got a couple of questions coming out of here. The first being, do you think that July is too ambitious for Mulan?
Yep. Yes. Ooh. I mean, maybe. Who knows where we're going to be with all this in July? The only good thing I can say for Mulan is that they already started so much of their build-up to the launch. I mean, Maude and I got to go to the premiere. We went to the premiere together.
Can we review it yet, or is it embargoed?
I have no idea. Like, it's so sad because I feel like they were like building up all this hype and then just had to cut it quick. And I'm sure they spent a lot of their launch and, a lot of their release budget already on all of that. Had to stop cold turkey. So all the hype and momentum stops where it is. And then they'll have whatever's left of their budget at that time, if it hasn't gotten moved to something else because of all the crazy world events that are going on right now, to try to finish the release.
I just hope that it doesn't go straight to DVD. Actually, Amy, sorry, honey, can you just mute again? I'm just getting a little bit of feedback from your audio there. Thank you. And then I have a fear that I'll do what Onward did, and that was it had 2 weeks out in cinemas and then went to VOD for only like a week or two, and then it went to Disney Plus. I'm so nervous for Mulan that it will go straight to Disney Plus. That will be devastating because I don't care if there's an embargo. I'm going to say it. Trish, back me up. This movie's great. This was such a good film.
It was so good. Yeah. It was so good. Yeah, we all really enjoyed it. And also shout out to our good friend and fellow YouTuber Jimmy Wong, who did an amazing job. And I want this to have a big screen release for him too. Like, for everyone that worked on the project, but especially for people that, like, this is their first major film that they're in, and it's going to go straight to DVD. Or not DVD, but straight to digital. When you're someone that's already used to being on digital, for whatever reason, we place this huge amount of importance on traditional theater and making it on the big screen and all that. And I want everyone that worked on that film to have that moment. I also just think it's a really good film. And for whatever reason, there are going to be people that think, oh, it was really straight to digital. For whatever reason, it's not as good. And it was really, really good. I enjoyed it immensely.
The visuals, the landscapes, how they've transformed what an ancient Chinese, villages and they're not castles. What are they? It's just so stunning. And the costume design, everything, it needs to be appreciated on a big screen. There's another trailer that you're seeing right now with A Quiet Place 2. That was the last movie that I saw in cinemas. I did the junket in New York. I saw this on my birthday, which was March 6th. I feel like I've had 9 birthdays since, because they've been putting this one on delay, and who knows if we're going to see, any more of this. I liked Quiet Place 2 for what it's worth. So a bunch of movies that are getting delayed. The next conversation I kind of want to bring up with this is that Marvel Phase 4 is just like delayed. The entire phase has been pushed back.
You're breaking my heart.
Yeah.
You're breaking my heart, but I mean, it's true, and we all understand why. Production on everything is stopped right now. But I would rather them take their time and give it to us when it's ready, because I enjoyed the Infinity Saga so much. Some of my all-time top favorite movies of my life in the Infinity Saga. So take your time. Give it to me the way that you want to, and I will wait for it.
We were supposed to have an Eternals trailer around now. So that's like a little bit of a bummer as well, that it's just like, nope, kidding. We're not even going to give you a tease because you're just not going to get it anytime soon. It sounds like that the second half of this year is going to be so congested. It sounds like that as soon as it hits November, we're just going to get inundated. And then for like the next 5 months, it's just going to be a massive catch up. I'm really interested to know, again, if you are in the entertainment business and you are a person that's in production or you're in a big part of this, what has it been like for you? How do you think the industry is going to bounce back from this? That's like a big interesting thing. Also, everyone's saying, have you seen Onward? I watched it just the other day. It is so beautiful. Trisha, if you haven't seen it, you will love it.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, so get this. It's a concept that I think is really cool. It's basically like a fantasy world and a fantasy concept with elves and,
it's like a movie about LARPing, right?
Yeah, well, but it's like they've modernized it. So it's like the fantasy ages is like at to the time now, and technology meant that it kind of stamped out magic. And so you've got like centaurs that are police officers. So they've kind of modernized, yeah, a fantasy concept, which I haven't really seen before. Thierry, who is in the chat, said he watched it at 4 a.m. and cried a bunch. I think that if you love it, that'll be great, because when Logan loves it too, not only will he get even more nerd cred, and like, you know, your whole purpose of turning him into a mini nerdo would be great. And it means that when he watches it 10 times in a row, you'll still enjoy it.
Probably. Although he is in the habit of watching things like hundreds of times in a row. And at that point, even the good movies are like, oh, please no. But Nathan Swap says, Trisha's going to love it. I know. Cam Mangel in chat says, I am actually watching Onward right now, which is awesome. And we are happy that you are multitasking in such a wonderful way and watching Onward. I want to watch it. I've been using my time when Little Man is asleep to do other things, but you're right, I could watch it with him, so I have no excuse. Hopefully I'll get a chance to watch out with him. Maybe we'll do like a Friday night movie.
Oh, that'll be a twofer. What have you been watching at the moment though? Because it's now time to have our recommendations, what we've been getting into. What's your watching?
Oh, okay, well, let's go and not Animal Crossing. Let's go ahead and check out what I have been watching. So this is an image from Westworld that is Dolores in her new glory. I saw a lot of people tweeting that Westworld doesn't feel a lot like Westworld this season.
Nope.
I think it's awesome, and I absolutely love it.
Do you know what it feels like? It feels like Alias, and I'm okay with that. Dolores is now Sydney Bristow.
Yeah, a little bit. I never got super into Alias, so it's... but I will trust your judgment on that comparison.
Alias is really good.
I'm looking at your face right now, and I'm like, I'm going to get major crap for not being into Alias.
Well, I mean, it's anyone can be into whatever they want. I'm just saying from my opinion, I've seen it through a couple of times, and I think it's some of JJ's best stuff. But in saying that, I never watched Lost, you know? I had to.
Yeah, well, there's too much good TV now, and that is a good problem to have, for sure. So I've been watching Westworld. I am kind of into the fact that they didn't just drop it all at once for everybody to binge. They are doing a timed weekly release with it. So I think we're 3 episodes in now, because I don't get to binge watch anything in my life anymore, and watching one episode a week is something that I can handle, so I don't feel like all the rest of my friends are 10 episodes ahead of me and talking about stuff that now I can't converse with them. Mm. Now I can actually have conversations with people about the shows that I like, which is really nice. But yeah, I'm really liking Westworld. Aaron Paul's in it this season, which is so bizarre, but working, and I really like where they're going with it. I think it's a real, real good ride.
Legit question, how did you suffer through season 2? Because I didn't make it.
You didn't make it through season 2?
No. Season 2, my theory with Westworld is that it's all about the world building, and they did such a great job of setting it up in the actual space, like it's in the theme park. And then it became about the characters. But what they tried to do in season 2 was like expand the world. And it's like, no, now just focus on the characters. And I think they did one thing really well, but they decided to put the attention on another thing. So now they're bringing it back to like, all right, let's not kind of explain why this is happening and just like expand on the science fiction side of it. We've set the world, we're enjoying the world, now let's focus on the characters. And that's what's happening again for season 3. But yeah.
I feel like season 2 was a lot of setup for season 3. Because you're dealing with a book series, right? So they have a whole bunch of stuff that they have to communicate to make stuff make sense. And you're right. They did an amazing job world building in season one, which is why when people who watched the show were like, you know, is this going to be kind of like an anthology series except for season to season be in different worlds? I think a lot of people were happy they didn't do that because we fell in love with Dolores and we fell in love with May and we want to know more about these characters and these hosts. So they kept the same characters. But yeah, I think season two was a lot of setup to take us out of Westworld as we knew it and bring some of our characters that we know from Westworld into whatever this futuristic society is. And now in season three, they're spending a lot of time world building what this future now looks like. And I think it's cool.
Yeah, no, I think that there's so much content out there, you just can't have a bad season. And I think that Ozark experienced that as well. Season two kind of fizzled a little bit.
I fell off Ozark in season two. I'm with you.
That's it. Yeah, but season three is apparently great. But it's like, you're asking me to spend another 10 plus hours to like slog through the story so that I can get rewarded by like an actual good season. It sucks to say it, but we are in such a competitive market with all this content. And it's like, I don't know. That's a thought. If you do want good television, though, like some recommendations of what I've been getting into.
Yes, tell us.
One of the things that I've been watching at the moment, I am singing because I'm stalling. I've forgotten one of them.
Oh, well, I just put it up if you look at the image.
Oh, Tiger King. Fuck. Excuse me. Yeah, guys, I smashed this out in like two nights. I had to watch it for work because it was number one trending on Netflix. There's a reason why it's number one trending on Netflix, and that's because this is the most ridiculous documentary you've ever heard of. Initially, it was like, oh, you were talking in like expose on uncovering, you know, the abuse or whatever that happens in the big cat world. Yes, but then no, not at all. You want to talk about good characters. This stuff you just can't make up. Every single episode, my mouth would drop open even further, being like, it just unleashes a whole new load of like WTF, what is going on? I think it's been out for long enough and so many people have watched it and you had to keep up with the memes on this one. So people kind of just like caught up to it. But you've got Joe Exotic here who runs one of the biggest big cat zoos in all of America.
I mean, he's the Tiger King.
He's the Tiger King. But his whole premise is the best, the most lucrative part of the tiger business is when a cub is newly born to 3 or 4 months old. And so that's what Carol Baskin, hey, all you cool cats and kittens, she was trying to just show the fact that they are almost abusing these animals by making them, you can pet them, you can get your photo with them. And he's literally like, he pulls the pup, kitten, kitty, baby,
cub
from this. Thank you. Maud, you watched Lion King, right? That was nice.
I think it's a cub, right?
It is. It's a tiger cub. Yeah. I worked in a bakery and we had tiger cub rolls. Anyway.
There we go. But yeah, I mean, Tiger King, I say in chat, Motown Man 75 says, so Tiger King isn't a golf documentary? No, it's
wrong
not.
Tiger.
But it's interesting, I think, how they set out to, I feel like, Carol set out to make this documentary to expose all of these people who were abusing animals. And now America's kind of in love with Joe and thinks that Carol's a murderer. Like, it's like the weirdest. Well, I don't know. The whole time I was watching it, I agree with you, Maude. It's fantastic TV that you just can't look away from. The documentary's made really well. And the people that it surrounds, like, you think you know who they're going to be, and then they surprise you at every turn. Like, the characters are just so bizarrely interesting.
My gosh. It's like, okay, Joe Exotic has basically set up a hit to have Carol Baskin killed. And then the next episode, it's like, oh, by the way, Joe Exotic is gay and he's got a couple of husbands. And you're like, okay. And they're like, oh, by the way, this other big cat zoo owner, he's also running what looks like a cult and he's got like 4 girlfriends and he pays them nothing to work 7 days a week. And you're like, okay, what else you got? Next episode, Carol Baskin's husband has mysteriously disappeared and apparently she murdered him. And you're like...
and fed him to the cats.
Yes. So yeah,
yeah, it just gets weirder and weirder.
Yeah, but if you want something that's like not weird and you kind of feel a little bit normal, although watching Tiger King made this situation feel normal when before it wasn't at all, I do want to recommend a series called On My Block. It's set in like a fictional place that's kind of like the Compton of LA, and it follows Black and Latino kids in their high school, kind of juggling their friendship and relationships. I really, really love this show. The writing's really great. The actors are really switched on. I've been finding it just to be a great series. It's only half hour episodes. Yay! Jimmy says, "Oh, my block is great." It's just, yeah, really well written. And I find myself actually really liking the characters. I'm finding more and more in television that I'm not really siding with anyone. I'm not backing anyone. A lot of the characters are just unlikable. But in this one, it's just like, yeah, they're like, I don't know. I want to protect them in a way. Oh, there you go. Ollie Mawson, Tiger King is truly clawful. Ah! Oh.
Yes. I knew there had to be puns. I mean, the Geek Bombers are here. There had to be puns.
Sorry. Blame me completely.
Well, thank you for the On My Block recommendation, because that wasn't even on my radar as something to watch, Maud.
I didn't know it. I found it and was discovered it recently, and I've been hooked. So, yeah, that's something to watch. Yeah, so there you go. There you have it with watching. In the comments, let us know, what are you currently watching? What was the last movie you saw? What are you into? What have you binged? Are you a fan of Tiger King? Do you think it was worth like the 99% audience rating or something like that? That
what? It got?
Let us know.
Does it really? Oh, you're blowing my mind, Maud.
There it is. I know. I'm bringing the facts now. This new job. I'm loaded up.
Woo! I love it. I love it. Yeah, everybody, thank you for watching.
That's it. Reading is coming up next, so make sure you watch that is our recommendation.
Yes. All right. So now, thank you, everybody, for throwing in what you're watching. Classy Librarian says, I bought Knives Out. Fun movie.
Oh, so great.
Right? And I want to go ahead and thank, let's see who else we have in here.
Really quickly, for those that have seen Knives Out, I have a bunch of interviews that I did with the cast, including Rian Johnson and Chris Evans, when I called him Captain Dick to his face. So head over to youtube.com/MaudGarrett, because that's where all the interviews are. It's a part of Geek Bomb, but we called it Interfuse.
Oh, boy.
Another pun? Yeah.
Woohoo! Okay, Backsorin, thank you for the cheering with 100 bits, and said, did you hear that South by Southwest is going to do a virtual streaming through Amazon since the con itself is closed? I had not heard that. Maud, is that something that's on your radar?
I thought South by Southwest had already happened.
But I mean, are they like next year doing virtual streaming, or are they doing one later? I don't know, Bax. Toss that in there for us. Renerig, thank you for the follow. Classy Librarian, thank you for the host. Apollo New Zealand, thank you for the follow. And Nalas, thank you for the follow. You guys are awesome. I appreciate you. Also, thank you, everybody, for dealing with our tech mishaps. This is our first time, so there's a lot of things that only show up when you're live broadcasting and don't show up in your testing. So I appreciate you all being patient and understanding of that while we get this together.
Really quickly, before we move into reading, Amy, I know that you've been pushing One Day at a Time a lot lately. I kind of want to know what you are currently watching, and have you been into On My Block?
Yes and yes. Yes. So I've been watching One Day at a Time. It's on Pop TV. It is, yeah, I mean, it was exciting because it was saved. Netflix was like, bye. And yes, I actually have been watching On My Block. I stopped after the first season because I didn't know the second season came out. So I've been watching that as well. Lots of movies. And I started watching Community. I know people in the chat were talking about that.
Yeah. It's so good. So there are three shows that were all canceled that was brought back by a new network due to popular demand. I think it happened with On My Block. It definitely happened with One Day at a Time. And
Schitt's
Community.
Creek.
Community was the same thing, where it was like, you got five seasons, and then Yahoo came on board and got the sixth season. So there you go. I like that fan service where it's like, if it's really good and fans are loud enough, you can actually save your favorite show. I like that power. Alrighty, sweet. Let's move on to reading. Welcome to reading. Currently, Trisha and I, for Power Up, are going to talk about what we are reading. But before we get into the nitty-gritty, Amy Cassandra Martinez, what's going off with reading stuff? What's the news?
Okay, this one's a pretty big deal. So Marvel's giving away free comics in a way. So Marvel Unlimited, which is a digital comic subscription service, is now offering all fans free access to some of Marvel's most iconic stories. So we're talking Avengers, Spider-Man, Black Widow, Captain America, Captain Marvel, pretty much everything. So starting yesterday, Thursday, April 2nd, until Monday, May 4th, that's when you have access to it. So you just go to Marvel Unlimited's free comics. You just download that app or update it if you already have it. Then you go to free comics on the landing screen, and there's no payment. So that's just a win-win for everyone, I think.
How many comics are available?
A crap ton.
A legit crap ton.
Yes, that's actually what it said when they released the information.
I tell you what, I have had Comixology. I've had some comics. I tried to get into graphic novels. I haven't made a secret of the fact that I prefer to read a book than read a comic because I have such a vivid imagination that I want a whole lot of words that I can figure out instead of a whole lot of pretty pictures with a few words to kind of tell the story. I want everyone to know in the chat, though, and in the comments, what do you prefer? Do you prefer reading? Do you prefer comics? Why do you love comics? Why do you love reading? Let your love be known. But yeah, there you go. Trish, are you going to be reading those free comics, do you think?
I would love to if I had time.
Yeah.
I think this is really great for everyone who is self-isolating right now and has kind of burned through their Netflix binge list and maybe we're waiting for some of the video games to come out that are now delayed, etc., and are looking for something new to get into. This is a really smart move on Marvel's part to make this kind of thing happen and just expose people to comics that might not otherwise be exposed to it. So, Amy, thank you for this news. I didn't know this. I didn't see that this was even happening, which is awesome. I probably will not personally be able to take advantage of this only because my free time is practically non-existent right now, thanks to daycares being closed and the inability to have someone come over and watch your kid while you're also supposed to be working an 8-hour day and producing videos and stuff. So I'm like at the point now where my eyes are rolling back in my head and I'm drowning in a glass of wine every night. That's just some real talk about what self-isolation is when you have a toddler and you also run your own company. Like, anyone out there that has two working parents and one or multiple children, hats off, because I don't even know how everyone is going to be coherent by the end of this. So unfortunately, Marvel comics for me. But Maud, you don't think you'll be taking advantage of this just because that's kind of not where you like to spend your free time?
I have actually been going into my archives of series that I really, really like. I just have to reference that Anthony Carboni is currently watching in the chat, and he said, just sell the kid. It solves so many problems.
Anthony, hi. I would ask Anthony to come over and help watch my child, but I'm not allowed to do that right now. Social distancing. Mm.
That's it. I think that it's just so weird again. And I wonder if anyone else is experiencing this. Let me know in the comments as well. I want to go back to familiar things that I know I'll love, but it's been long enough that I've kind of forgotten it. Because I want to put time into things that I know are going to be rewarding and fulfilling for me. So I'm going back through two different series that I'm listening to on Audible. One of them is Sarah J. Maas's series called Throne of Glass. It's got about 8 or so books in the series. From different perspectives, but it's a high fantasy book, which means it's set back in sort of like time where magic and fae exist. And I just know that it was a great escape the first time, but it's been 3 years since I've listened to it. So I'm going back again. And the narrator is really bearable, which is a rare thing these days. And the series that I can't stop recommending is one called Dresden Files. There's about 18 books in that season, in that series. But the narrator for this one is... Dresden Files.
The narrator?
The narrator who reads the book on Audible.
For anyone who can't understand Australian dialects, that's the narrator.
The narrator.
Sorry, for the podcast folks, I just needed to point that out.
Because, you can't get subtitles with me. The narrator is James Masters, who is Spike from Buffy, and he has ruined other books for me and everyone who's in Geek Bomb. We've covered this quite a bit in Book Club, which we do every single month, because we've done the first two books in the series because I won't stop raving about it, and because Thierry is on his third listen all the way through. It took him about 6 months, but he's so good. A narrator that reads the words is like putting someone to sleep. But if you are telling the story and sharing the words, what a game changer. This book series is fantastic. So if you're going on your morning walks, when you're back driving again, best time to listen to Audible. The series follows a adult wizard named Harry. Nothing to do with Hogwarts, of course. But it's more of a supernatural noir. where you follow him and he unsolves a lot of, like, you know, solves a lot of crime, but in a really cool sense with vampires and werewolves. And trust me, bombers in the chat, go off, because everyone knows how rad this series is. And we've only gone into the first two books and it only gets better from there. So they're my recommendations. Trisha, what you got?
What have I been reading lately? And honestly, I was reading this also via Audible while I was stuck in traffic, because as I just explained, downtime is limited, but I do still have to drive places sometimes. I have been listening to The Last Wish, which is the first of the Witcher prequel books. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to get into it, I highly recommend it. I find it fascinating. And I knew that the Netflix Witcher series was coming, I had already played the Witcher games, but no one had seen the series yet. So I was like, oh man, I want to read the books before the series comes out, because I know a lot of people like to watch the series without having the books in their mind, because some people think that when it's translated to screen that it loses something and they'll be disappointed in it, whereas if they see the television or on-screen version first and then read the books, then it's like good the first time and even better when you read the books. But I don't feel like that. I like to be the person that has all the background knowledge going into the show so that I can fill in the gaps for my friends that haven't read the books that have questions. So I jumped on The Last Wish, and what you should know if you're going to get into it is that it is a bunch of short stories. So if you're expecting one very long narrative, that's not what this is, but it's short stories to help both in world building and letting you know who the major characters are in the Witcher series. Like I said, I think it's narrated super well, and I highly, highly recommend it.
Stop. It was narrated pretty... Okay, so bombers are going to go off mainly because we have covered this in book club. I think I might be lagging a little bit, so my bad for that one. The narrator was shocking. He would... can I do my impersonation of it?
Oh, this is the narrator you hated, right?
Yes! It wrecked the book for me. I tuned out so much because he'd be like... And then Geralt would go across the road, and then when he would go across the road, he would also cast a spell. And once he casted the spell, then he was like, maybe I won't do it. And you're like... What is happening? Just read the line. I wish I could have enjoyed this more. I love the video games, which made me love the series. I was a little bit lost in the series, but the book helped me understand the series more. And of course, both of those properties helped me understand the book more. Didn't like the book. Hated the audio.
I actually, and here's where I'm going to disagree with you. And you and I have actually talked about this before outside of this show. But I thought the narrator... did the best Geralt voice I have ever heard.
And we did agree on that. I just love wish he did the Geralt voice the whole time. His Geralt was perfect. That kind of gravelly,
yes,
you know.
His Geralt is perfect. And so I'm really into it. I can excuse his everybody else. It doesn't bother me. I love his Geralt voice. And I am currently finishing, or maybe just recently finished, I can't remember, the second book after The Last Wish.
Oh, really? You kept going. That's brave.
I like it. I know you say that because I see a bunch of the bombers in chat are like, yeah, it was trash. But I personally really enjoyed it. And I also really enjoyed the second book. And I recommended them to my husband, who is also really enjoying it. So at least there's two people in the universe that think those books are good.
Honestly, a narrator or a narrator can make or break a book these days. I do want to quickly reference the fact that Officer Dibble has suggested Red Rising trilogy by Pierce Brown. I've got it on Audible. I just think that the narrator on that one is not so great. I actually think at this stage I need to get back into reading now that I'm not actually out as much or in my car as much, because I need to have it in my voice again so that I can take it at my own pace and not have someone else wreck a book for me, if that makes sense.
I'm trying to figure out if I can still hear you. Okay, good.
Hey-yo. If people are massive book lovers, though, I just want to take a second to talk about Geek Bomb's book club. We do it once a month. We recommend a book that everyone reads, and we have a Discord where we chat about that book the entire time. We do fan castings on who we would like to see play the characters. I get friends in on as well. We all drink wine. We talk about the book. It's my favorite. I don't feel like enough people talk about books.
Rachel and Hector, right?
That's it. We did it Wednesday this week. It went so well. And we had the Discord actually ask questions. I had this set up so it's like they could talk and ask us questions in the stream. It was our first one, but if you want to catch out that, it is on Geek Bomb's YouTube as well. But I'm excited to see where we can take a book club because, yeah, I'm always going to be such an advocate for books. If I'm reading this much, then I may as well talk about it, right?
Maude, you produce so much content between the stuff that you're doing for other brands and the stuff that you do on Geek Bomb. It's absolutely amazing.
Hey, back at you, babes. And I'm not raising a kid. I'm just making a dog look cute, you know?
Oh, and it is quite a cute dog. But yeah, I love that you're getting a chance to read all this stuff and that you're recommending all of this stuff. And book club looks awesome. I haven't had a chance to tune in yet, but I know that you're doing it because I see it all over your social media. It's super, super awesome. And lots of people in chat right now throwing out Starman 2014 says Black Sad. Officer Dibble says Red Queen is another good trilogy too by Victoria Aveyard.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. I love reading female authors as well. Like, yeah, I'm all those recommendations, tweet them at me, pop them in the Discord because we're pinning recommendations in the reading section on Geek Bomb's Discord, which you can get involved in through the Patreon. But yeah, let's build the community. This is a lot of fun. Look at me. I get all buzzed when I talk about reading.
I get it. I wish I had more time for reading right now. I'm very lucky that I have kind of a previous backlog of having downed a bunch of books before I got into the situation where I'm in now where I don't have as much time for reading.
PB, pre-baby.
Wait, what?
I have a tattoo PB. It obviously stands for pre-baby.
It stands for pre-baby?
Nah, it stands for Papa Bear or Peach and Bowser, depends on what day it is, or peanut butter.
Okay, cool. I didn't know that, Maude.
Well, there you go. Hey, you're learning something about me.
I am learning something about you. Seriously, thank you so much to everybody who has tuned in so far. We have the people who've watched us here live on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Trisha Hershberger. Thank you guys for being here and joining in the chat. It's really this conversation with the community that helps fuel the conversation that we're having and makes us all feel a little bit more connected in this crazy, crazy world that we're in right now. So thank you.
So if you're loving what you're seeing with this one, make sure you are subscribed to YouTube, the Geek Bomb Show. But if you're also if you're watching on the YouTube channel, head over to Trisha's Twitch page as well and follow that and sub it if you want to watch live and get your questions in. A lot of ways to watch, listen, and consume this as well. So follow all of it so you don't miss out on anything. Woo, that's reading done.
Yes.
Let's get some of those subs in. Who'd we get?
Oh, thank you to, let's see who else we got. Nala's followed. Thank you. Catnip Ninja gifted a sub. Thank you so much, Catnip Ninja. To Funk Defied Mess. Welcome to the Dragon Riders. And Leo the Blurred also followed. Thank you so much, Leo the Blurred. Guys, if you're tuning in here from the Bombers and it's your first time on my Twitch channel, I will let you know, this is the only podcast type show that I do on this Twitch channel. Most of the time we just chill and hang out and play video games. Sometimes the video games are a little bit more high stress, but most of the time they're beautiful, lovely, artistic pieces. But it's really just about hanging out as a community and supporting each other. And I feel, and I cannot speak for the Geek Bombers, but I'm sure you feel this way too, Maude, but at least for the Dragon Rider community, here on the Twitch channel and in our Discord, which feel free to join the Discord if you need a place to hang out. I just saw that Nightbot and GK Gamer Fan threw that out there, are just some of the kindest, most lovely, most positive, supportive people in the world. And I've worked really hard my whole career to build a community like that so that I never have to worry about throwing the ban hammer around or, you know, when people say, like, how can you be online? There's so much toxicity. I'm like, not in my house, there isn't. Like, and not to, because we never even have to. Like, my mods do such an amazing job in this house, and we've just kind of cultivated this community of very, very sweet, loving, wonderful, supportive people. So, Bombers, welcome to that community. Yes, Ashalon in chat said, welcome, Bombers. You are now officially part of the Dragon Rider community. Welcome.
And, you know, without the Geek Bomb backers, Geek Bomb wouldn't exist. I mean, they are funding the company. They are making sure that this content gets made. They are helping buy all the equipment that was needed to do this. They're paying wages for people that are working. And on that note, hey, Amy, jump back in real quick. I want to have a chat with you. Where can people find you? Where can, what are you up to at the moment?
Well, social media-wise, you guys can find me everywhere at Amy Cassandra MTZ, but also, of course, right here I also do stuff for Sideshow Collectibles. So if you guys are geeks, which you are, go ahead and join us there as well. We are creating content from home. It's been a brand new experience, and we are doing that. And I also have done red carpets for Hollywood First Look features. We will be creating more content there as well. So, yeah. And my own channel, too. Yeah, youtube.com/AmyCassandra.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, youtube.com/AmyCassandra.
Yay! I just saw Ollie Morrison in chat said Geek Bomb is also truly the nicest of communities. So I thought, what a perfect blending of communities then.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. If we have time, we've got a little Bombs Away segment, which is a Q&A, questions that you guys tweeted us, wrote to us in the Discords, chatting about right now in it. We're going to do a little speed round this first time because we did start a little bit late and this is like a test to see how long things are going to go for. So I just wanted to say a big hello to everyone who is watching or who put in the questions for our Bombs Away segment. Sorry. We've got them up here. Do we want to get started? Trish, do you want to read out the first Bombs Away Q&A?
Well, sure. Let's see. So I assume that this one is from, this could be actually live from chat, or it could be from the Geek Bombers ahead of time. Nathan Swap says, how did you guys meet? Was it a professional setting or personal first impressions? Maud and I think met in passing the first time in the SourceFed offices, and I was like, oh, yes, you're the new blonde host. Nice to meet you. Bye. Right? Like, that's how I remember it.
Yeah, we were in the office. I think I was sitting diagonally to you. You were sitting next to Sam. I believe Steve was next to me. So I remember that kind of layout. We didn't talk for very long because you had this kind of like, I really want to get to know you, but I'm also like, literally, this is my last day. So that crossover kind of sucked. But the immediate impression that I got from you, and we've never had this conversation face to face, was that when I was meeting everyone and getting an understanding of the office, keeping in mind I've been in the industry for 10 years at this stage, working in television and radio in Australia. And I kind of went in and I was just like, everyone's really young and like kind of green. And the immediate impersonation I got from you was that you knew your shit. You knew what you were doing. You were professional. You were experienced. You were on it.
Oh, that means the world to me. Thank you, Mom.
And I was like, why are you leaving?
Thank you. I worked a little bit in traditional, not hosting though, ever. All of the traditional media that I did prior to SourceFed was all acting. Mostly like industrials and commercials and little tiny one-liners here and there and indie films and that kind of stuff. So those were the only like legit sets I was on. So thank you for saying that. That's very nice.
There you go. First impressions. Yeah. Next question we've got is from Nick Perry. What is the best book, movie, TV show, or game that you've seen, read, or played that was suggested to you? My goodness. I feel like that's a really hard one to answer because I'm inundated with recommendations all the time. And I'm just consuming so much that I'm just kind of struggling to remember what it was that I discovered and what was recommended to me. But I guess in saying that, I'm always open to recommendations and I love lots of everything. So yeah, I'm just keeping that door open, basically. Do you have an answer for that one?
Trying to think of stuff that people suggest to me. Because same thing, a lot of people ask me for recommendations. Mm-hmm. I don't know. A movie, game, or book that I... Oh, you know what has been suggested to me a ton, and it took me forever to jump on this boat, was Disco Elysium. It's an indie game that I was playing on my Twitch channel for a bit before Ori came out, and then I took a pause to Ori with the intention of going back to Disco Elysium, but I always have a good intention of going back to stuff, and then time just gets away from me. But that was really great. I see Officer Dibble in chat says, Return of the Obra Dinn, best game I've played that was recommended. I've heard such wonderful things about that game, and I have not played that either, so thank you so much for that. Maybe that will become my new answer after I play it.
GameWizard001 says, hi, Aaron, says, not Simon, says, favorite adaptation of book or game to film? Look, game to film, not many. Can we be real for a second? That's like not something that's done super well.
Honestly, favorite game to big screen, The Witcher. I said it. Hate me for it. I love it.
No. Yeah, that works. Yeah, I'll sign that off.
It is the best that we've had so far. All other video game adaptations have been really, really crummy for the most part. Now, book to film adaptations, definitely, I would not say that's the case.
I can say with confidence that there are three books that are better than the film, because more often the film is always better than the book. But the times where the book is... Usually the book is always going to be better than the film because there's a lot more information, a lot more descriptors in there. So you kind of have more there, because to turn, like, you know, 800 pages into 90 minutes can be really difficult. But the three movies that are better than the book, number one, The Princess Bride. Don't worry, written by the same guy, but he trimmed a lot of the fat that was not necessary. The movie is my favorite movie of all time. The book, still great. You still learned more about it, but the movie was better. The second one is The Notebook. The Notebook is a really amazing film. The book is kindling for a fire.
Ooh,
oh,
it was bad. Ooh, like, sick burn, Maud.
Sorry, what's his name? The Nicholas Sparks? Is that it? Yeah. Oh, I've interviewed him. I don't know why he's... Maybe he's so publicly homophobic because that man has a secret. Oh, probably can't put that up anywhere. But, the third one is The Magicians by Lev Grossman. We did it in book club as well. The book was all over the place. The season one did a much better job of just making it a little bit more succinct and coherent and better. So there you go. That's the answer to that one. I took far too long doing that because I totally shamed a famous person. The last one that we've got here is, what movie, game, or book that you haven't tried yet are you embarrassed to admit that you haven't?
And that's from Steven Summers. There are so many movies and games and books that I have not read that I wish that I had. Yeah, it's hard to even just pick one. What book have I not read? Or what book or movie or game have I not read? I don't know, Maude, does one come to mind for you?
God of War. It's been sitting on my pile of shame for so long. I was given it ages ago and I just never played it, and I really want to, so eventually I will, I guess.
Yeah, game-wise, I went from console to strictly PC gaming right around the time that Super Nintendo came out. So I missed a ton of classic, wonderful games from Super Nintendo all the way up to, like, PlayStation 2 is probably where I came back into console. And I've told this story a lot before on interviews. So the TLDR version is, my parents didn't think video games were for girls, so they didn't buy me a console after the original NES. And so I just had to learn how to mod our home family PC to play the video games I wanted to play. But because of that, while everybody else was getting into, like, OG God of Wars and Mass Effects and Metal Gear and all that kind of stuff, I was playing Myst and Riven and The Sims and Diablo. And, like, my just, my world was different than everybody else's.
Oh, yeah, I get you.
With and that. So even now I'm at the point where I'm like, I guess I should go back and play some of this stuff. Like, same thing like Pokemon. I totally missed Pokemon. Totally missed it. Animal Crossing, totally missed it. I'd never had a Game Boy, which is when Pokemon, from what I hear, is when it became most people's radar. I never had one. I was never allowed to have one. And then I thought the trading card game was Magic the Gathering for babies. So I never got into the Pokemon card game because, yeah. Yeah, Amy's laughing right now.
I had Magic the Gathering and I had Pokemon trading cards. I think I did my 10,000 hours with Pokemon, like, easily. I believe it went, like, for me, Red, Yellow, Sapphire, then Diamond, then White, then, I've done my hours, that's for sure. But it's so interesting because I never really PC gamed. I had to unplug the PC and leave it on the side of the road in 2007 due to a World of Warcraft addiction. And then I didn't play since. And then I got a new laptop and immediately have started downloading a lot of games like KOTOR, so I can play that for the fifth time. But yeah, I have been sort of out of the PC realm. So gaming on PC is a bit of a foreign concept to me because I need a controller in my hand. So there you go.
Well, that's good. That'll make the playing section of the show really interesting because we have the two different sides to bring in. I saw KK got it going on in chat, redeemed some dragon scales for a highlighted message. By the way, if you're here for the first time, you collect dragon scales for every minute that you hang out watching this channel. It's completely free. Oh, cool. It's my way of thanking people that tune in and hang out with us on this channel. And you can trade in your dragon scales after you amass a bunch of them for cool prizes of all different types. But anyway, one of them is to have a highlighted message in chat. That's probably the most affordable dragon scale redemption. And KK got it going on, said, to be honest, I still haven't watched or read Lord of the Rings. I know I'll like it, but I don't know if I should read it first or watch it first. I'm paralyzed by indecision. I would say watch it first. Maud?
Yeah, I tried to read Lord of the Rings when I was 18 because I was like, yay, I'm no longer in school. I can read things because I want to, not because I have to. And I think like 3 pages in, I was like, that is so wordy.
Yeah, like, no, the Lord of the Rings textbooks are really written more like history textbooks. So they're a bit of a slog to get through. I find a lot of fantasy literature is like that. I thought all the Game of Thrones books were like that. You know, you slog through a bit until you get to something really interesting, but then it all pays off with that something really interesting. So if you're used to that genre of literature, go for it, read it. But if you're not, I would say watch it first and then go back in and read it, because knowing what's coming will make the like slogging through parts, I feel like, a little more worthwhile.
I completely agree with you on that one. Also, I get more offended by people that's just like, yeah, look, I just never read Harry Potter or watched them. I don't know. I just never really did. What?
I know. Like, just give it a go. You will love it. That's how I feel. So my sister, who's the one who turned me on to Harry Potter, it's like, I just can't get into those Marvel movies. I don't understand what the hype is about this movie Endgame. Everyone's acting like it's the best thing that ever happened. And I was like, cool, you did me a solid when I was like, ugh, Harry Potter, and forced me to read it. I'm going to do you a solid right now and force you to sit down and watch the Infinity Saga of the MCU. And you know what? She did. She and her fiance, like, spaced it out over months and watched all the films. And she called me in tears after Endgame and was like, I loved it. You were right. And I'm like, I know. But that's how I was after Harry Potter.
Oh, having that impact as well on someone where it's like, recommend this, trust me, you're going to love it. And when they just love it and it changes their world, like, that is so important. Someone did confess, my face confessed to being that person that hasn't read or watched Harry Potter. Hey, now's the best time to do it. This is what this show is all about. What are you playing, watching, reading? Recommendations. Read Harry Potter, please.
Yep. Yep.
The nicest way I could have said it. Woo.
All right, cool. Well, thank you guys, everybody, for your questions. Thank you, Bombers and Dragon Riders. You guys are awesome. Thanks to everyone who's here watching it live. And thanks in the future to anyone who watches this in the VOD on YouTube or listens to it on the podcast.
Yeah, make sure you subscribe to everything. You can follow youtube.com/geekbomb for all the Geek Bomb VODs. You can search Geek Bomb on all the places that you listen to your podcasts to get the episodes every single week on the weekend for that one. And if you want to catch the live show, participate with your Dragon Riders and collect those Dragon Scales, head to twitch.tv/Trisha Hirschberger. We'll put all of our handles as well out there for you guys if you want to follow everyone here. Thank you so much for joining us for our very first episode of Power Up. I'm Maud Garrett.
I'm Trisha Hirschberger.
I'm Amy.
Amy, you're so cute. It's Amy's so cute and wee. It's kind of like Brady Bunch-esque that we're all like, hi.
Hi, there she is. She's down there.
Hi.
Thanks so much. We will be back next week, though, 4 o'clock. If you want to catch that one live, make sure that you are getting this because we want to keep giving you this show every single week.
Awesome. Thank you guys all so much for watching, and I hope you have a lovely rest of your Friday evening and rest of your weekend and rest of your day, whenever it is that you're enjoying this.
And bye, everybody. What I say is bingo. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.